Thank you for listening to the James Hooper Podcast. This is where you can hear sermons, discussions on various topics, and whatever else I feel like talking about. I trust you'll be encouraged, enlightened, and uplifted by something we say or do. Hang tight. Here we go. So we're starting a new series because, I forgot to tell you, happy Pentecost Sunday. This is Pentecost Sunday, and we're gonna start a new series called Lit, and you're going to get that in a minute, but it's called Lit, and we're actually gonna talk about, in the ensuing Sundays, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, okay? A lot of people have been wondering about that, so we'll be talking about that. It's just going to be a little short four-week series. Today, we're going to talk about Pentecost, because today is Pentecost. So we're going to have the scripture up on the screen for just one. For some reason, my PowerPoint didn't load. I loaded it Thursday, and it's gone. So now we just have at least little pretty graphics, and we'll have one scripture up there. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. All right? It says, Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, thus lit. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, and in Pontus, and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. That's Pentecost Sunday. Okay? That's what happened on Pentecost Sunday. But what is Pentecost? What is the purpose of Pentecost? All right? So the word Pentecost, so many people have been afraid. Excuse me, my nose is itching like crazy. So many people have been afraid of Pentecostalism. Let me settle your fears right now. The word Pentecost means 50th. That's what the word means, 50th. It is actually the 50th day after Passover. And actually, in this case, it was after the day after Passover. So it's 50th day. So when people say, are you Pentecostal? Well, I'm not quite 50. No. But 50th, you know, some people, they're so afraid of Pentecost, and you just say, 50. Is that scary? 50th. That's not very scary. So all Pentecost means, we are Pentecostal. We are Pentecostal. I will say this. I was born on Friday night, Sunday morning. I was in church, and I was either on the pew or under the pew because there was Pentecostalism happening all over the place. So I was born in it, and I know what it's about, okay? But this is where the Pentecost was instituted, okay? I'm going to read out of Leviticus. And so Leviticus chapter 23 says, I'm going to do a lot of teaching. In fact, I wish I had 4 weeks to just teach on this, what Pentecost is about. But I don't. Maybe sometime I will. Leviticus chapter 23, it says, And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is one time, and the day after the Sabbath. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Verse 21, And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So it was a holy convocation. It's a sacred assembly is what a convocation is. A sacred. This is why there were so many different people in Jerusalem on that day. Tell me God isn't strategic. Had all these, because all of these people came from all over the known world at that time. And they all came to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. It's one of their feasts, the seven feasts, and there's one of them. And so that's why everybody was there. That's why everybody was all around that. But what is Pentecost? What is the purpose of Pentecost? So many, again, I'm born and raised Pentecost, so I can talk about them, okay? Pentecostals have thought that Pentecost is just about the doodads, just about the speaking in tongues, just about what we're going to talk about later. It's just about, prophesying, just for prophecy's sake, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, just so somebody will know something. All these things, people just, they just think that's just what it's for. No, no, no. God is more strategic than that. Now, I'm fixing to blow your mind because God has a plan, and God is so strategic. He knows exactly what he's doing. Listen, I'm here to tell you, God knows exactly what he's doing. You're going to find out he's pretty strategic. Okay? All right. So, I'm going to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. This is our original assignment, okay? Genesis chapter 1. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, okay, so here is God's instructions to us. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That was our job. If you'll remember from last week, I talked about Eden was just a place on the earth. It wasn't the whole earth. It was just a place on the earth. And our job was to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and expand the garden. Expand the garden. It was our job because the earth was given to us as a stewardship. God stewarded the earth. So Eden was where God dwelt on earth when he created it, okay? So this is where he set up his abode on earth. And so he said, it's your job to expand it. So I want you to expand my dominion and my rule over the entire earth so that it will cover the entire earth. That's our job. Well, I'm here to tell you, man got rebellious. How many know your kids can get rebellious, don't you know? Don't nobody look at nobody right up in here, okay? So in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve rebelled. They thought, hey, I'm going to be like God. Because the serpent told them, you know, God's not telling you the whole truth. Putting a little doubt in their minds about God. God had never held anything back from them. He provided everything for them. And the serpent said, now, you know, God's not really telling you the whole truth. Because you really won't die. He's just trying to scare you a little bit. You really won't die. But when you partake of that, he knows you'll be just like him. You'll just know. You'll know everything. You'll know good and evil. So they rebelled, okay? That's rebellion number one. Number two, in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about that the sons of God looked on the earth and saw the daughters of men, and they went down and they married the daughters of men, and giants were in the earth. That's how giants came. So sons of God, let me give you a little bit here. Now, you're just going to have to stay with me on this, okay? I'll do more teaching on this later, build it and establish it. So God has a heavenly council. When he said, let us make man, he wasn't talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit because they're one. God the Father didn't say, hey, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know what we ought to do? We ought to make man. No, no, because they're one. So he has a council of little g, God's little spiritual beings all over in heaven. And so he doesn't need a council, but he knows that he wants to use a council. He doesn't have to have it, but he does anyway. So he said to the council, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Okay, so then what man was part of God's council on the earth. There was the heavenly council, then man was the earthly council. Then Adam and Eve messed that up. So then the ones that were part of his council, remember they were rebellious angels. They said angels. They're actually, if you read that in the original, it's called Elohim. That means spiritual beings. You know, when it means Elohim, if you ever see Elohim and it's capitalized, it's talking about singular God. There's singular and plural Elohim, and it talks about little g gods. In other words, spiritual beings. It doesn't mean, you know, they're equal with God. They're just spiritual beings. Because how many of you know there are spiritual beings everywhere? You are a spiritual being that is in the earth, that you're having. In fact, I teach this. I try not to get too sidetracked. I teach kids this. I'll show them a picture of a guy doing a spacewalk. And I say, how many see the astronaut? And all of them, I see it. I see it. No. Put your hands down. How many see the astronaut? I see it. No, you don't see the astronaut. How many see the astronaut? And finally, they said, I said, no, you see his spacesuit. You don't see the astronaut. I said, so we are a spiritual being in an earth suit. So we are spiritual beings. So what God is trying to do is he's trying to recapture that. I wish I had a lot longer to talk about this. So the sons of God, daughters of men, you know, you read that in Genesis and it freaks out people. And that's where the giants came from, the Anakim and all these kind of things. So that was the second one. Then the third one was, remember what our job was to replenish, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue the earth. In other words, spread the kingdom. Well, in Genesis chapter 11, everybody got together at Babel. And they gathered together because they were of one language, and they gathered together and they said, let's build a tower. So let me read it to you. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. So their ingenuity, the technology is developing like crazy because they're made in the image of God, creators. We're all creators, okay? So, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Listen to this line. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. That's what you're supposed to be doing anyway. You're supposed to be expanding. But let's come together and make a name for ourselves. Let's make our name. Let's do this for us. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. Remember, we talked about being one last week. We talked about harmony. And so he said, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. That's pretty big from God saying they can do whatever they put in their mind to do. That's still true. Okay? It's all about your purpose. Okay? So, come, let us go down, again, talking to his heavenly council, and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, later become Babylon, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. He confused the language. So everybody was speaking the same language. They're supposed to be building the kingdom of God. They're supposed to be spreading the kingdom of God. And what they're doing, they're coming together. They're trying to become like God. It's this whole thing where everybody's wanting to be God. And that's what we have that problem. Everybody wants to be their own God nowadays. Everybody just wants to be their own God. So God, if you'll read it later, God confused the language and he disinherited those nations. He disinherited those nations. And then he put some of his counsel over every nation, every one of those people that became a nation. Every different language became a nation. And he put his counsel, different ones of his counsel, over those nations. So he disinherited them. So this plan is now changing, okay? So Adam failed his assignment, trying to become like God. Mankind failed their assignment, trying to reach heaven and become like God. So God decided I'm going to create an entirely new nation out of one man and one woman. He's tried to do that in the beginning when he created Adam and Eve. So he picked Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham was not Christian. Everybody thinks, there was no such thing as a Jew back then. Abraham became the very first Jew. So he picked Abraham and Sarah to complete God's assignment. He was going to let all the other nations, he was going to disinherit them. But remember, God don't ever leave anybody totally alone. But he starts with Abraham, and Abraham, in you, I will bless the nations. You shall be a nation under yourself. I will, from your seed. And then he said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He hadn't forgot those nations. But he said, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham lost patience. And he and Sarah said, well, you know, what could happen, could be, what God might be going to do is he's going to use, since I can't have babies, I couldn't have babies when I was childbearing age, so here's my handmaid, Hagar. And Abraham, okay. I mean, please. Men, if your wife offers you something like that, it's a trap. It's a trap. Don't fall for it. So anyway, he and Hagar got together, and Ishmael was born. And immediately there was trouble. Immediately there was trouble. And God said, that's not him. I'll bless him, but that's not the one that I promised. But because you messed up, they're going to be in contention with each other. And, you know, we read about it all the time in the Middle East. Ishmael's seed and Isaac's seed are always at each other's throat. They're always at war, and they're all wanting the same piece of land. All of them. So, God said, okay. So he said, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to take care of the assignment myself. I'm going to restart my army again. So he says, I'll send Jesus. And then he said, Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, now this is right before he was being sent, he said, now, but you will receive power. That word is dunamis, enablement. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, the ends of the earth. You'll be my witnesses. So, he gave us what I call 9 empowerments, and we're going to study those these next three weeks following. He gave us the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, faith, which is a gift of faith, not the faith, but working of miracles and gifts of healing. Why do we need these empowerments? Why do we need the power? Jesus said so that we could be witnesses, but why? So Matthew 28, Jesus gave us the commission. He said, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, in other words, he's implying, now this is your authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Nations, nations, nations. Remember, he confused the tongues that became multiple nations. God's still concerned about those nations. Even though there were rebel spirits that were ruling those, he had disinherited them. He never left them out. He said, I got to put them on hold right now. There's still things going on that I have to fix with them. That's why When oh man, don't get sidetracked. Okay. So go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you even to the end of the age. So what Pentecost was for was the reversal of Babel. He confused the languages, and every one of the languages that all the nations that were formed out of the confusion, that's basically the same list that were listed in Acts chapter 2, of all the people that were there. The known world at the time. They thought that Spain was the farthest west you could get. In fact, Paul said, I want to go to Spain, because he wanted to go as far, and Rome thought, that's it. That's as far as you can go. There's no more land. They didn't realize that there was an ocean, and across the ocean there was a whole other continent. But that's it. And Mesopotamia, they went to the east and they went to the west, as far as they could go, as far as they knew. And so every one of those nations were represented. Every one of those nations were represented. They were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when God gave them this holy language that they could speak the language of all of those people. So in other words, he said, listen, I'm going to accommodate you. I'm not asking everybody to speak the same language anymore. I'm going to speak to you in your language through these people. That's what Pentecost is for. He's empowering us to speak the language of people around us so that people that don't understand, people that are different from us, people that are of different nations, people of different persuasions, they can understand us. And the empowerments are so we can do a word of wisdom. So if somebody is a doubter and God wants to speak to them, you can speak to them a word of wisdom. Basically, it's giving them some insight into how they should handle something. That's what a word of wisdom is. I'll talk about that next week. I'm doing word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits next week, okay? But so it's so somebody can get some wisdom imparted from God. And the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is you say something to somebody that you have no idea. And it's like, oh, that proves to them God loves them enough to mention something to them. Discerning of spirits. Now, I'll talk about this next week. That's not the suspicion, gifts of suspicion. That's discerning of spirits. Know what spirits are in operation around you. Okay? All of these tools, all of these empowerments were so that we could expand the kingdom of God. So that we could, he was re-inheriting those nations, bringing them back in, because his plan still is for his kingdom to be established over the entire earth. That's still his plan. That's what Pentecost was about. It wasn't so we could just say shundai. It wasn't so that we could wow people with knowing stuff that we don't know. It wasn't so we could heal people and put up a tent and all this other stuff. And I'm not slamming faith healers. I'm just saying, because, you know, that God uses those. But it's not so we can do that. It's so that he can speak to those nations, so that we can reach the nations, disciple them, so that they can become one of us. They can become the family of God again. That's what Pentecost was about. We have focused, the Pentecostals has focused so much on the tongues. And I speak in tongues. I mean, I do. I pray in tongues. But it's not just about the tongue. That is a prayer language that God uses. Now, I have been in situations where people in a public setting where someone actually gave out a message in tongues and it was actually a spoken language. There was someone in that meeting that actually spoke the language. What I'm thinking about, it was a Mandarin Chinese. This guy got up and spoke in tongues, gave a message in tongues, and somebody interpreted it in English. And after church, this lady brought her mother over who could not speak a word of English but spoke Mandarin Chinese, came up and said, I want to talk to the guy that speaks Chinese. And they said, well, we don't have anybody that speaks Chinese. Well, that guy over there spoke Chinese this morning. And then that guy just said the same thing he said, but in English. So it happens. But it's as a sign to the unbeliever. It's not just so we can make ourselves feel good. And that's what Pentecostalism has been about. It's making ourselves, it's just come together and having a feel-good time, which I love feeling good. I love what we call the doodads. I love, but the thing is we have made it just about that. instead of what God wanted it to be, an empowerment so that we can reach the nations of the earth, so that we can disciple nations. And I'm here to tell you, God has given us this ability because we have almost every nation you can think of represented in this area because of the technology, because of all the music. We've got people from nations all over the world because this is a place that draws them in. And so we can disciple nations. Word nation, when he says nation, it's people groups. So it doesn't have to be somebody from another country. It could be somebody that's part of another group. See, people these days love separating themselves into groups. And that's what, and see, I'm an official, I'm an executive with a denomination. But we have denomed the nation. We have separated the nation because, well, we believe differently than them, so we're going to create our own little group. We believe differently than them, we're going to create our own group. I'm here to tell you, God wants us to work together. That's why we're not in competition with any church in this area. That's why if someone does not like our church, I say, here, go try this one. Go try that one. I'll be the first to tell them. And some of those other pastors, listen, if you want something a little more, you know, lively, then go over there to Turnaround Church. Because they're a little more lively. But I want you to know, when people call me and say, well, filtering. Y'all know that when I get quiet, I'm filtering. Because I don't know if I should say some of the things I think. Because my wife will go, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's because my wife's interceding on my behalf right quick. But it really bothers me when people call, what kind of church are you? We're a church. We're a Bible-believing, Jesus-following church. Well, I'm looking for an old-time Pentecostal. Well, then you ain't finding it here. We're Pentecostal, but we're not old-time. And what they're wanting is they want people that'll fall out on the floor and run and shout and all this kind of stuff. And that's what's happened in churches for so long. They've alienated themselves from their community because all they do is they come together in the four walls, have their little emotional fests, and then go away and don't ever talk about the community. Don't touch the community. They don't ever do anything. They don't meet any needs. And Jesus talked about the poor. He never talked about running and shouting and all this kind of hooping and hollering. He never did. He said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. He talks about meeting needs. And that's what God wants us to do. We are to disciple nations. Let me tell you who is the greatest discipling organization in the world. That's the Muslims. Because they will go into an area and they will disciple. They will go in and they'll have people that will own businesses. They'll have people that go in and do, and they're just part of the community. And they come in and they just start infiltrating and becoming part of it. That's just what we're supposed to do. But we don't want to be part of them because we might get tainted. We're so afraid to get out in the world and go anywhere because that some of those spirits might jump off on us. Well, if you've got your spirit so weak that they can jump on you and knock you down, then you need to get saved. You don't have the greater one living inside of you. Listen, we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Most High. God calls himself the Most High God. In other words, nobody's greater than him. Nobody's bigger than him. Nobody's more powerful than him. Nobody's omnipresent. There are no other gods omnipresent. There's nobody omniscient. There's nobody omnipotent. There's nobody, 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 nobody. But we serve him, and his spirit is inside of us. We can go anywhere we want to, and we can change the atmosphere everywhere we go and not be afraid of the devil. He's a created being that is subject to God, and we have more power than he has. Because we are the children of God. We're not the rebellious ones. We're the ones that are serving God and doing his will. And he has empowered us and given us authority that we can go and take territory for God. It is a war, and God says, I want you to take territory. Are you going to have to fight for it? Yes, sir, you're going to have to fight for it. But there's nothing worth having that's not worth fighting for. You got to fight for it. When David was wanting to do a sacrifice, he went to this guy and he said, let me buy your threshing floor so I can do a sacrifice. Oh, I'll just give it to you. He said, no, 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 I won't offer to God anything that doesn't cost me something. It's got to cost us something. We have to make ourselves, show ourselves. This is what, now I'm just going from here to there, but anyway, I'm trying to cover some things that I've been needing to cover. All right, so we Pentecostals have not focused on baptism. Like the Baptists say you're saved that way, but we don't believe you're saved. However, baptism is spiritual warfare. Because what you're doing, you can say your prayer. You can ask the Lord to be your Savior. You can give your heart to the Lord. You can do all this other stuff. But until you get up in front of God and everybody, I mean principalities and powers, you get up in front of them and you say, I am following God. And I am making this a public confession and I'm letting everybody know this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. You're putting the devil on notice. As long as you keep it quiet, he's okay with that. Okay, that's fine, because you're not influencing anybody. But once you get up there and you participate and you partake of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus symbolically, when you go down in that water, you're dead and buried with him, and you, not literally, but this is symbolically, and you come up out of that water, you are resurrected to new life. It's participating, showing that this is what I'm doing. I'm dying to myself, and I'm coming up a new person. We have got to let people know. We have to live our lives like it means something. This is the purpose of Pentecost. Pentecost was to empower us. It's not just so I can speak a funny language. It's just not so I can do all these things and call myself a certain, to give it time. It's not something so I can put a little name tag on and say, hey, my name is James and I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm going to be going next month. We're going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee to our General Assembly. I'm on the General Board, so I get to help make rules and laws and, govern the organization. I get to do that. But I'm here to tell you that's not what I am. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to let Cedar Park, Leander, Northwest Austin, as far as I'm concerned, the entire world know that this is the way you should go and walk you in it. And these gifts that we're going to talk about these next 3 weeks, these gifts are what helps us to do that, helps us to disciple nations, helps us to disciple, to make be disciplers, to help people. And it is empowerments for us to help us to be better disciples. It works good in us too. It works really well in us. So this is the purpose of Pentecost. This is the purpose that Jesus came so he could retake the nations. He disinherited them at Babel. He said, I got to split y'all up because y'all, it's like my mama used to do us kids. Because we're going to tear something up and we're together. I'm going to split y'all up. And she'd do it sometimes. Y'all going to have to, so it's like God said, no, y'all going to do something y'all going to regret. So split up and here you go. Y'all can't understand each other anymore. But then he said, I'm going to fix it though. And with Pentecost, with the tongues, speaking everybody's language that was part of those nations, he spoke it. Listen, this was revelation to me when God showed this to me. And I've done research and I've done all I can, and this is my understanding, okay? I'm not saying I'm the perfect theologian, but this is my understanding what Pentecost is about. Because God so loved the world. And he still loves the world. He loved it when he created it, and he loves it still. He loves us all. He loves us so much that he wants fellowship with us. Did he need us? Come on, be real. Did God need to create us? No. He created more headaches for himself when he did that. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. He wanted fellowship. God is a communal God. That's why there's three in one. He's a communal God. He loves community. He loves people. He loves being together with people. He says, where there's two or three assembled, there I am in the midst. In other words, if they a party, I'm going to be there. If y'all going to get together, I'm going to show up with you. God wants us to be together. This is why we come together at church, because he wants us to come together so we can gain strength, so we can grow together, so we can know one another.
I'm glad you took the time to listen to the James Hooper podcast. If you'd do me a favor, give us a like. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, rate and review us so others can find the podcast. If you want to contact us, go to jhimonline.org or send us an email at info@jhimonline.org. Until next time, have a great day.